As you've heard, the title is The People of the Word. And I want to start over in John chapter 14. And we'll start in verse 23. Yahshua answered and said to him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So we see here Yahshua is telling us that the word is Yahweh's. And Yahweh is the one that sent him. And we, as people of the word, are going to keep his word. And across the page, if you have the sacred scriptures here. In John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Do we love Almighty Yahweh and Yahshua the Messiah? Because it says here, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You know, I even said this last week, but there are a lot of ministers out there, and I used a certain one last week, speaking of Creflo, that says you don't have to keep the commandments, not even the Big Ten. And I guess I pick on him a lot because he said that, but that's not what the word says. See, that's not what the commandments tell us. Yahshua wants us to keep the commandments as he kept his Father's commandments. He was faithful. And one of the brothers last week said this when we were discussing it. He says, obedience comes first. You think about it. You come to the knowledge of the truth and you have to learn to obey first. And once you start obeying, you start keeping the Sabbath, you start keeping the feast days, you start keeping the commandments of Yahweh, the blessings come. And they keep coming. And they keep coming. There's nothing that Yahweh will put you through or before you that's too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you when it comes to worshiping Yahweh. Think about your life. Think about what you've been through. You know, I'm not saying that you're not going to have any trouble in your life, because that's not what the word says. And one of my favorite scriptures I always go back to is Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. Not 50%, not 75%, not 90%, not 99%, 100% out of them all. Now, you can look at your life and say, well, you know, I had some troubles that I really couldn't get out of or whatever, but think about it. Yahweh doesn't give us a promise that he cannot fulfill. He can fulfill each and every promise in his word. You know, we have to, again, start out with that right step, obedience. And when we do that, we receive the blessings of the word as people of the word. Now, I want to continue here in John. It says in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth," and this is the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth, that the world cannot receive." The world cannot receive Yahweh's Holy Spirit. for it beholds it not, neither knows it. You know it, for it remains with you and shall be in you. So, Brother Bob, you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's in you. Now it just has to be nurtured and it has to grow. And the way it grows is through your study and your walk with Yahweh in the Word. So as a people of the Word, a person of the Word, you're going to continue that walk and do the things which He has commanded you to do, which is keep the commandments. Don't ever let anybody tell you you don't need to keep the commandments, because you'll find that by that walk, if you keep the commandments, you're going to receive the protection and the blessings that He has prepared for you. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you desolate. I come to you. Yet a little while the world beholds me no more. But you behold me because I live. You shall live also. So Yahshua is encouraging them because He's telling them, I'm going to give you the power to be able to maintain and to continue this work. Verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Have we, in our walk with Yahshua, we have that have been baptized have received that gift of the Holy Spirit? And again, that gift, it keeps giving, because Yahweh knows His. He knows those who are His, and He's going to protect each one of us. He's going to provide spiritually as well as temporally for each one of us. I know a lot of people that struggle and they think, well, you know, my needs aren't being met. And what happens is that they're seeing things from a carnal perspective. And when I say that, I'm speaking of here in America. You know, we live in a land of plenty, and people think they should have plenty because we're here. Their needs are being met. They still have a place to live. They still have food, you know, and the shelter and clothes on their back, because, you know, if you live here, and I know I used to work with welfare, and these things are provided. If you go to the right place, you can get shelter. You can get, if you're homeless, you can get shelter. You can get food. We have a food stamp program. The present administration wants to change that to some sort of food box or whatever. But still, they want to provide food, but they want to be specific in what they're doing. But what I'm saying is the country does still provide food if you want it, okay? Now, the thing here is that when you look at the world, and the world is a lot bigger than the United States, these things aren't provided in every country. There's some that do, and there's some that don't. The majority don't. You know, I know when I was in Trinidad, I think it was last year, or the year before, the people right across the little water in Venezuela were rioting because they didn't have toilet paper. Their country was struggling, and their stores, you know, didn't have stocks. You know, right now, we can go into a store and have access to the things we have need, basic needs. But there are a lot of places they don't have what we consider basic needs. So we're spoiled, okay? And that's okay. It's okay, Because Yahweh blessed you that you're here in the United States and you're spoiled. But, you know, it's not that way all over the world. You know, I was telling Elder Brett and some of the brethren in January, I was in Africa, and we were in Uganda. And in Uganda, we had a training session and services for about 4 days in a row. And we had people come in for the services in the evening, but during the day I was training the leaders, and we had 13 that came from other areas of Uganda and other countries to not only hear what I was teaching and preaching, but to be ordained. And we ordained and set up 11 new congregations while we were there. And see, Yahweh's at work. And a lot of these people, 8 of them was from one area in Uganda called Mbale, which is large, and they each had congregations in that area. The one we ordained named John, he lived there in Wakisu in Uganda, but he also had 3 congregations elsewhere, even though he lived there, because the elder that was there, it's called the Noble School of Yahweh, that they have a school there where they're teaching children, but they are using that as the nucleus to push this work forward in Uganda and establish a presence there. And this is, of course, outside the regular, you know, religion, because they have a lot of Catholics there and whatnot. But here, they're promoting the name of Yahweh, and they're pushing it forth. And we just had a great time while we were there. And we got to meet some other people. As a matter of fact, we met a young man from here, from Arkansas, who was visiting another brother who had married a Ugandan there, and they were looking for ministries to help. And we told them, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. And the one was going to be going back to Kenya. Our bishop was there from Kenya. And he, of course, I put the two together and said, okay, he's looking for ministries to help. You need help in Kenya? Here he is. And he said he would be going to Kenya shortly to meet with the bishop to help set up some programs there. But see, as people of the word, we have to link hands hand in hand. And this is one of the things that we've done with YIY, that we will go to different areas. He gets correspondence from, say, someone in Mozambique, and our elders are there, and the brethren came over from Mozambique, and our next stop when we were in Malawi, and we had a training session there and did the same thing, and we ended up ordaining Mukasa there as and baptizing him and one of the other young men that he brought with him. So when he went back to Mozambique, now originally he's from the DR, but he's living in a camp, a UN camp, because they have a lot of camps throughout Africa because of the war-torn area of the Congo. The people have left and they are living in these camps. And he says they have, I think that camp is not as large as the one in Tanzania. The one in Tanzania has over 1 million people in it. And it's a city. And the camp he's in only has 175,000. But still, these are displaced people. And they need help. Of course, they're looking for help in the areas of Bibles and things of that nature. But the majority of them speak Portuguese and Swahili. So we got them some Bibles from Kenya, because the Messianic Assembly of Yahweh there had produced some Bibles in Swahili. But what we're working on right now for the brethren in Uganda, because a lot of them speak English and read English as well as their native language, we're trying to raise and send Bibles over there. So Yahweh's working. And we see this as people of the Word. If we stick with the Word of Yahweh, now turn over to John chapter 1. In John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh." See, so you have Yahweh and the Word. "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not master it." Yahshua is that light we see further on as you look there. But each one of us, as people of the Word, have to be a light to this world as well, because we're following in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. Turn over to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 says, "Rejoice in Yahweh, O you righteous." Now, somebody that's righteous is one that is keeping the commandments, because that's the definition of righteousness in Deuteronomy 6:25. It says the definition there of righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. "Praise is comely for the upright. Give thanks to Yahweh with the harp. Sing praises to him with the psaltery of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song." Now, we've praised Yahweh today. We continually, that's one of the reasons I love the Avalos family. They do a great job of praising Yahweh. I enjoy hearing them praise Yahweh. And the song today was just absolutely beautiful. "For the word of Yahweh is right." I need you to digest that. The word of Yahweh is right. That means if it's not from Yahweh, it's not right. See, there's a lot of people that want you to follow a doctrine or a concept that is contrary to the scriptures, and that's not something we can do as people of the Word, because we want to stick with Yahweh and what he commands us and directs us to do. "All his work, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of Yahweh. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made." Now, we know that from John 1, we read that about the word creating. "And all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh." See, we're supposed to fear Yahweh, and him only shall you serve. People are amazed at the things that Yahweh does. Last week, when we were in Green Bay, one of the young men asked me if I would anoint his mother who was sick in the hospital. And I told him, sure, not a problem. And he was just, he's a new believer. And he was, you know, kind of taken back by, I was willing to go anoint his mother at a hospital, you know, and this is Sabbath. And I said, after services, after we have lunch, yeah, no problem, we'll go. And we went. So we got to the hospital and we're walking in. And my wife heard someone call me, and they called me by a name that they would have had to be a friend to know. Most of you know me by what name?
Robert.
Robert, okay? But all my friends call me Greg. because that's the name I was raised up under. So if you call me Greg, you've known me in that old, earlier life. And what happened is that they used to be a part of our former affiliation in our, you know, old days. So we hadn't seen them for probably 30 years. And they used to worship with us. But they had left, and it was some things happened that, you know, really it was devastating. And it was devastating for them because they left on some terms that weren't good, and they were hurt. And see, a lot of people that go through this walk end up getting hurt. And it may be inadvertently, but in this particular instance, it was the form of affiliation. They didn't do right by the people. They didn't treat them right. So they had been turned off from the faith and turned off from religion. And people that that go through these things, it happens. Now, when me and my wife got to hugging and, you know, greeting them and seeing them, and I asked, you know, why didn't you come to services? They were invited to services there. And she said, well, you know, they've been going through some things, and they were actually just coming from visiting their sister that was there in the hospital. And I said, well, I'll stop in and see her and anoint her as well. Okay? So we go up to finish and anoint the mother of the brother there, and three doors down was the sister. And we went in and anointed her as well. And the young man, he thought this was so amazing. I said, yes, it's a miracle. Think about it. You know, we're in a different city. We didn't know that the sister was in that hospital. We didn't know that she even lived in that area because, to my knowledge, they lived in a different city than Green Bay. Actually, she lived in a city that is a small town called Mishcote or something like that, where we were going to be staying after that service. That next day, we were going to a resort, me and my wife, to spend a few days kind of decompressing. And sure enough, she lived in that city, and she wanted to see us. So that next day, we ended up going to her house, and several of her family members came. And we got to hugging, and we got to talking and kissing, and, you know, we reconnected. And we saw the hurt that they had been through, and we were starting the healing process. And that was nothing but Yahweh that brought us together. Now, I had been communicating with her on Facebook. She knew I was coming to Wisconsin. And I invited her to services. And like I said, they didn't show up. But they ended up still, Yahweh put us together. And it was only Yahweh that made that happen. And see, this young man, what do you think that did for his faith? To see this miracle unfold. Not only that, we told his mother, who was not in the faith, but she was the one that directed him to the faith, Yahweh used you to bring us together. And that said something for her. She was so excited because I was willing to anoint her. She wasn't a member. And I said, I don't know where the scriptures say you have to be a member of a certain group to be anointed. You understand? See, as people of the word, we have to step outside the box sometimes, you know, and do things because the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading you to do Yahweh's will. Now, if I would have told a young man, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, that would have quenched the spirit in him. But when he saw what was going on, he got so pumped up and excited. Before he even got back, he had called John and his Melody there and told them what happened. And then they talked to the Waterburys and let them know what had happened so that they could give Yahweh the praise. And this is the reason that we're here, brethren, as people of the word, to not only do Yahweh's will, But we have to give him praise. He inhabits the praises of Israel. And as spiritual Israel, this is what we're supposed to do. And I try to encourage the brethren every Sabbath to sing, to praise Yahweh. And even if you can't sing, come forth, read the word. You can give praise by reading the word, okay? Or play an instrument, right? Even the harmonica. It doesn't matter what you do to give praise, and you don't have to when I say that. When you come to worship service and you stand up and you sing, you are giving praises to Yahweh, okay? So we want to continue to do that as people of the word. Now back to Psalm 33, it says, and I want this to verse 8, it says, let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. How is that going to happen? It's going to happen as people of the word stand up and we do these things to give praise to Yahweh. And people are going to see these miracles happening in their life and they're going to give praise to Yahweh. They're going to stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Yahweh brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the thoughts of the peoples to be of no effect. The counsel of Yahweh stands fast forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh. That's us, brethren. See, we make up a spiritual nation. We have brethren all over the world who love Yahweh, who praise Yahweh. And therefore, we're one people. We're the people of the word. The people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Yahweh looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He that fashions the hearts of them all, that considers all their works. There is no king save by a multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither does he deliver any by his great power. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul has waited for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Now that name is the only name by which we can be saved because the scriptures tell us Yahweh is salvation. And of course, that's what Yahshua means. Yahweh is salvation. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, I want to start in verse 1, says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim in whom I trust. You know, people put their trust in a lot of things, especially in these days. But you can't trust in your bank account. Think about what happened to the Confederate Army and the Confederate currency. It became worthless, right? And the scriptures tell us that they're going to be throwing gold and silver in the street. It's going to become worthless. See, our trust has to be in Yahweh. It can't be in the society. It can't be in a government. It can only be, if we want success, in Yahweh. for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Do we have that faith today, brethren? As people of the word, do we trust Almighty Yahweh enough that we're going to allow him to deliver us? Verse 8, it says, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. For you, O Yahweh, are my refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. There shall no evil happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your tent. Hallelujah. Yeah. He's going to give us the protection we need, brethren. We just have to trust in him. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, this is a messianic psalm here. It's speaking about Yahshua the Messiah, but it's also speaking about the people of the word, his people, each one of us that has committed ourselves to following him. Verse 12, they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Is the name of Yahweh important? Absolutely. But see, there are people out here that believe it's too holy to use, too holy to pronounce. It says, verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The adder being a snake, of course. The lion. What's the lion? Judah? The lion of Judah is Yahshua the Messiah, but the Jewish people, what did they do? They put him to death. You understand? They did not and would not accept, even today, the using of Yahweh's name. The term Yehuda means one who praises Yahweh. When Leah had him in Genesis 29, 35, she says, this time will I praise Yahweh. You understand? We cannot allow anyone to stop us from praising Yahweh, from giving glory to the Holy One of Israel. As people of the word, it's our job to praise Yahweh. And we have to do it every day. And this is why it's so important for us to praise his name. He says here in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. You want to be delivered? Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and tribulation. And I'm telling you, that tribulation is coming upon this earth in a very near future. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we want that salvation. Turn over to Zephaniah. It's another one of my favorite books, Zephaniah. Chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 14. The great day of Yahweh is near, It is near and hastes greatly, even the voice of the day of Yahweh. The mighty man cries there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high battlements. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against Yahweh. That's the reason. What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law, brethren. So that means we must keep the law, according to what I can see here. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath. See, those who trust in their wealth aren't going to be successful. Their money is not going to be able to save them. They're only going to receive salvation through Yahshua the Messiah in Yahshua's name. It says, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make an end, yes, a terrible end, of all them that dwell in the earth. Ha'arez. It says land in my particular version, but it's ha'arez in the Hebrew, in the earth. I want to continue in chapter 2. It says, gather yourselves together, even gather together, O nation which has no shame. That nation that has no shame is Israel. Because they've traded in their mighty one, Yahweh, for idols. Idolatry. That term, no shame, for Bosh. Before the decree brings forth, before the day passes as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh comes upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger comes upon you, seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth. When you think of meekness, do you think of Moses? Or you think of small children? See, those who are meek are those who are righteous, that have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you will be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. And that's what we want. We want, and that's what Zephaniah means, hidden of Yahweh. We want to be hidden of Yahweh during this tribulation that's coming upon this earth. When I tell people this, you know, oh, you're always preaching doom and, you know, darkness. But, you know, as watchmen to the house of Israel, if we don't warn the people, what happens? Their blood is upon us. Is that not what the scripture says in Ezekiel? Yes, as watchmen to the house of Israel, we have to let them know what's coming, right? And this is what the word says. Now go over to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. What does that mean? We have to tell them. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to tell the nations what is about to happen. Prepare war. Stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hurry and come, all you nations all around. And gather yourselves together there, because your mighty one comes down, mighty ones to come down. Oh, Yahweh, this is like what Eliah did back in 1 Kings. He told the priests of Baal and the prophets to, you know, y'all come and get your sacrifice together, and, You know, we're going to see who's real. Is your mighty one real, or is Yahweh the true and living Elohim? And this is what's happening here. Verse 12, let the nations bestir themselves and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the place of judgment. Shaphat being the judge. For there will I sit to judge all the nations all around. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. And this is the harvest of the earth, brethren, and it's coming. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. And I'm telling you, if you don't realize it, if you don't notice it, the wickedness today is worse than it's ever been. It's worse than it's ever been. You know, this country that was started out as a righteous nation is no longer righteous. You know, wickedness is placed before us and our children and our grandchildren on a daily basis. So for morality, as the people of the word, we have to teach them righteousness and what's right, because if they turn on a television, if they go to school, everything they're being taught and they see, you know, and it's done so subtly. You know, I remember when I was young, which is a while ago, we didn't have a problem with homosexuality. I'm saying it was there, but it was recognized as just that, something wicked. Okay? It wasn't, oh, I was born this way, or I'm ill, you know, or this is something. No, it's a choice that people are making. You understand? And there's so many people, especially in our government today, that will, instead of give people the help they need medically, they'll give them, oh, that's a girl trapped in a male body. We'll give the funds for an operation instead of counseling, or instead of help that they need spiritually. You understand what's going on in our nation is, it's like it's backwards, it's flip-flop. That which is right, they don't do anymore. And it's like they're on a mission to do evil. And if it's something that you want that's evil, oh yes, we'll do it. We'll write a prescription for it. But if it's some help you truly need to keep doing what's right before Yahweh, they could care less. No, you can't do that. You must get a shot, because the government is telling you that it's necessary, because your child is going to be in school with other children, and if they don't have a shot, they can bring in these diseases. No, Yahweh protects us. You know, I travel and they ask me, well, don't you get shots to go to this country or that? I said, no. When they ask me, I tell them, no. Yahweh protects me. And they've not once forced me to take a shot to come into their country. And it's all about money. I told them, when I went into one country, they say, hey, you don't have your yellow fever card. I said, why do I need it? I don't have yellow fever. You know? So he said, well, you got to have this shot. I said, why? I said, if it's the money you want, you just, what is it? I'll give you the money. I'm not taking a shot. I said, because he protects me. And he said, well, who are you? And I told him who I was and why I was there. And I said, the minister will be coming to pick us up. And he says, well, I want to speak to your minister. I said, well, he's not my minister, but he's one of our ministers here in Malawi. And when he came, the guy just walked away, because it was all about money. And he didn't get any money, but I wasn't forced to take a shot that I didn't need. Why put something in your body that Yahweh gives you the power to fight anyway? So as people of the word, we have to stick with this. I'm telling you, brethren, we have to stick with the word, because Yahweh's going to bless those who are doing just that. Now, it says here, multitudes in verse 14 in the valley of decision. For the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. And Yahweh will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But Yahweh will be a refuge to his people. Hallelujah. And a stronghold to the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am Yahweh your Elohim, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of Yahweh, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. And I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for Yahweh dwells in Zion. Almighty Yahweh has called a people, and we want to be that people. Turn over to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having eternal good tidings to proclaim to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he says with a great voice, fear Yahweh and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. We have to tell the world that the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and fountains of waters. And another, a second angel, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, that has made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a great voice, if any man worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That word tormented is basanos. Number 931, it means judged. It's judgment. It's not something that's going to go on forever and ever. See, when the devil is, and it talks about him in the same here in Revelation, basanos, judged. He's going to be judged. He's not going to burn forever and ever. He's going to be destroyed. He will have no being once he's destroyed. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment or judgment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, they that worship the beast in his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. So the people of the word are keeping the commandments of Yahweh. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in Yahshua from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. And I saw, and behold, a white cloud, And on the cloud I saw one sitting like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the temple, crying with a great voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Send forth your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. For the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud cast his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out from the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, he has the power over fire, he that has power over fire. And he called with a great voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Send forth your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe." And the angel cast his sickle into the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth and cast it into the winepress, the great winepress of the wrath of Elohim. And the winepress was trodden outside the city. And there came out blood from the winepress, even to the bridles of the horses as far as 1,600 furlongs. Brethren, Almighty Yahweh is calling a special group of people. I call them the people of the word because they're willing to keep his commandments. Over in Revelation chapter 12, I want to go over there real quick. As I bring this message to a close, I have one other scripture, but I want to read Revelation 12, and this is going to paint even a clearer picture. It says, "And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." These are constellations that can be seen in the sky. It says here in verse 2, "And she was with child, and she cries out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven," another constellation. "And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems, and his tail draws the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered, and when she is delivered, that he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron." Who is this? It's only one that can fulfill this passage. It's Yahshua the Messiah. It says, "And her child was caught away to Elohim and to his throne." He's the only one that has come down from heaven that has gone back to heaven. See, people will tell you, especially these ministers performing funerals, and they're trying to pray people into heaven. But John chapter 3 tells us that no man has gone into heaven at any time. See, it's only Yahshua that can fulfill this. In verse 6, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Elohim, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred with his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." He was cast down to the earth, along with the third of the angels that followed him. Now, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our Elohim day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. See, as people of the word, we have a testimony that we have to give, brethren. And we have to give this testimony as often as someone asks of the hope that is within you. And they love not their life even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them, woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. And his time is short, and it's almost over. And this is why we have to hang on as people of the word. And we have to be faithful in everything we do. Because when Yahshua returns, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for that love of the brethren. He's looking for that love between me and Elder Brett, me and Chris, me and each and every one of the brethren. You know, we have to truly not allow Satan the devil to come between us, because that's what he's going to do. His purpose is to divide and conquer, to kill and destroy. But we can't give him that ability over us, because we have the power, the Holy Spirit. See, one small amount of the Holy Spirit is enough. Bob has enough Holy Spirit right now to defeat Satan. You understand? But you have to believe it, and you have to allow it to work within you. Because every time he attacks, Yahweh gives you a way of escape. He gives you a way to defeat the enemy. And you know what? This is what you use. This is what Yahshua did. He quoted the word. Now, Satan knows the word, doesn't he? But what did Yahshua do? He quoted it right back to him. He told him in the word that we worship Yahweh. Him only shall you serve. Satan wants you to serve him. He doesn't care what name you call him. But we worship Yahweh, as Yahshua said, and him only shall you serve. Now, in it says in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman the two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time. See, these people of Yahweh, who are hidden of Yahweh, are going to be in a wilderness situation. They're going to be protected. They're not, what's the word they used, the Christians?
Raptured.
Raptured, yeah. They're not raptured away into heaven or whatever. They're protected here on the earth for that 3.5 years of the tribulation. They're protected because they're people of the word. They've received and will receive that protection. It says here in verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon became exceedingly angry with the woman. Now, this woman is spiritual Israel and went away to make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of Yahweh See, that's the key, brethren. The people of the word keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold the testimony of Yahshua. And this is something that we have to do. We have to show the world that we're different because we praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. And that's what we do. Hallelujah. We say it all the time. And I try to witness using that term, hallelujah, to all those, because you ask a Christian, what does hallelujah mean? Oh, it's the highest praise. And you ask them why. They don't know why. See, and when you break it down and explain it to them, that they're praising Yahweh's name, oh, then they get it. But see, they really don't get it because they don't make the transition or the change. And, you know, maybe their eyes are just not open at that point. Maybe they're not being called yet. But I'm telling you right now, we, as witnesses to the world, have to let these people know, as people of the word, what Yahweh is doing in our lives. For our closing passage, turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 7, it says, and to the angel of the assembly of Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no one shall shut, and that shuts and none opens. This is Yahshua the Messiah. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which none can shut, that you have a little power and did keep my word. See, as people of the word, we have to keep the word. We have to show Almighty Yahweh that we love him and we are keeping his commandments. And did not deny my name. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are worshipers of Yahweh. That term Jews, that's what it means, Yahudim, one who praises Yahweh. And they are not, because they don't. But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you did keep the word of my patience. And I will also keep you from the hour of trial, that tribulation that's coming upon the earth. You're going to be kept from. You're going to be protected. That hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no one take your crown. And we have to be faithful, brethren, if we want to retain our crowns. He that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Elohim. And he shall go out from there no more. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Elohim, and my own new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. See, those who are there in Philadelphia did keep Yahweh's word. And we have to be people of the word. The people of the word keep Almighty Yahweh's word regardless of what's happening in the world. They don't put anyone or anything before Almighty Yahweh. We must be fully committed to the covenant that we've entered at baptism. Yahshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve him.